Okay. Next we have Joan Davitt. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Today I'm going to talk about the OASIS assessment in the Medicare Home Health Care Program. And we did a study to look at the reliability and validity of that system, of that assessment. And we have no relationships to disclose either. And I'm presenting today on behalf of myself and my colleague, Melissa O'Connor. Both of us are from the University of Pennsylvania. And these are the agencies that supported the work we did for this study. So the outcomes assessment information set is a comprehensive assessment that a home health agency clinicians conduct at admission, discharge, transfer, or change in condition for Medicare and Medicaid, non-pediatric and non-maternity patients. This assessment is mandated for all Medicare and Medicaid patients. And it's a comprehensive assessment that collects information on the patient's demographics, their clinical areas, service needs, functional areas, things like that. And this basically has replaced the assessment process that agencies were using as a routine prior to and has been in place since 1999. And it was developed over 10 years with multiple studies, demonstration projects, et cetera. And the original, based on those original studies, the reliability levels were fairly good in those first initial studies, 71% or kappas of 6 or higher for most items on the OASIS. We are now actually on the fourth version, however, of the OASIS assessment tool. It's been modified several times. The data that we will present today, or the review that we will present today, really focuses on some of the earlier versions. No one has actually conducted tests on the most recent versions of the OASIS assessment. So those of you who are interested in this area, there's lots of room for research in the future in this area. But this is an important study because OASIS is used for both to establish the reimbursement that a patient receives. Home health care is paid under a capitated system now, Medicare home health care. And the OASIS assessment is certain items from the OASIS assessment is actually used to establish that reimbursement. It's also used within the outcomes-based quality improvement initiatives that CMS does. Some of you may have seen some of this on the web, Home Health Compare, et cetera. They use data from the OASIS assessment to really look at agency performance on various outcome indicators and to track that over time. And then also people are using this, myself included, for outcomes research and to study, for example, things like disparities in outcomes within the Medicare home health care system. So we really do need to look carefully at how reliable and valid these measures are. Now keep in mind the OASIS is a huge assessment, so there are hundreds of items that the agency staff are collecting each time they do one of these assessments. So my colleague and I thought it would be useful to look at the literature to see what do we really know about the validity and reliability of this assessment tool since those initial demonstration grants and since the data from those initial demonstration grants. So we conducted what we think was the first systematic review of the literature regarding, the published literature regarding the psychometric properties of the OASIS since its implementation. And via that we conducted a synthesis and critique of existing research on the OASIS. And we looked at the following databases, PubMed, Medline, et cetera, using these search terms, outcome assessment information set, psychometric validity, reliability, et cetera. Obviously, the studies were limited to English and US only because this system is used in the US, not in other countries. And through the review, we found actually 12 articles that have been published that actually tested validity or reliability or both in their study. So there were other articles out there discussing the topic, but they actually did not do official tests of validity and reliability. I think I might have jumped ahead a slide. There we go. So our methods included a three-step data extraction process where we first identified the articles and then reviewed those initial articles to develop a template. In our initial review, we realized very quickly that there were a tremendous amount of inconsistencies across the studies, different kinds of methods used across the whole process, from how they collect the data, who they use to the measures, the items that they measured, to the statistical procedures that they used, et cetera. So it was very difficult to really look at these studies. So we felt that a template was necessary to really look carefully at and extract the information from each study in terms of what they did. And these were some of the areas included in that template: the types of validity and reliability studied, the methods and sampling procedures, variables measured and the statistics used, and then, of course, the findings and limitations. Okay, so there's a tremendous amount of data to present here. So we tried very hard to build this presentation around the summary of what we found. We do have an article under review, and so hopefully the details will be there shortly for you all to see. And I'm willing to, if anyone is interested in seeing that in draft form, just, you know, give me your card or whatever. But the important thing really comes back down to what I said already, which was really a lot of inconsistency across these studies. So not really an easy way to compare them sort of together on similar kinds of items. So in terms of validity, there were 7 studies that tested validity. 5 of them looked at criterion-related validity. 2 looked at construct validity. Again, using different procedures, some used secondary analysis of existing data, some used prospective cohorts, and then one study used a video simulation where they had a case and several hundreds of clinicians evaluated that same case. Data collection, some agencies or some studies used agency staff only. Other studies used agency staff and research clinicians to collect the data. And again, they used a variety of different kinds of statistical procedures, sensitivity rates, logistic regression was used in some, factor analysis and Raich modeling, for example, to test the construct validity. And then again, they also, unfortunately, as I said earlier, there are 4 different versions of the OASIS that have been used historically now. And so these studies ranged from, you know, 1999 to 2009 in terms of their publication dates. And so they also looked at different versions of the OASIS assessment. So in some cases, you have different kinds of questions being evaluated, different measures being evaluated. The sample sizes were very different as well. One of the things that we did find, though, that was unfortunately consistent is that most of the samples were not really representative. They were either one agency or a group of agencies from the same state. So we don't have very many studies, both in the validity and reliability projects that were done. We don't have very many studies that really had a random sample of agencies and or beneficiaries. And then also, in some cases, they used multiple assessments, and there was a gap in the number of days between assessments, which also can be problematic, and you'll see this trend also in the reliability studies. An average of 5 to 23 days in the studies in terms of time between assessments, and a maximum lapse of 48 days in one study. So that's problematic in terms of the results, of course, as well, because a person can obviously change their status, and we're measuring health status with this assessment. Their health status can certainly change over time. So there are, we'll talk in a minute about the limitations. So more specifically on validity, the findings. Again, this is a summary. There are more details in the full report, but most of the studies found that the items related to cognitive status had high validity, and ADL, activities of daily living, and instrumental activities of daily living also were found to have high validity. However, in terms of construct validity, what the two studies that looked at construct validity found in terms of the functional domains, ADL and IADL, they were unidimensional. They were measuring a single sort of construct. However, there were some problems with individual items in terms of the scale that's used on those items. Again, the recommendations from those studies suggested that we need to be careful as researchers in how we use those measures in terms of looking at patient outcomes in the future. And also then, most of the affect, the validity in terms of the affect domains was low. Now, those of you who are familiar with OASIS and with home healthcare know that in the most recent version of OASIS, C1, the affect domain has been changed, and there is an option for them to use the PHQ-2, which we're hoping will actually turn out to be a better measure and give us more valid results. But the original OASIS items that were used to measure things like depression, et cetera, have not demonstrated very strong validity. And that's important in terms of research because people are still using these older data that were derived from these older assessment tools. If people are doing longitudinal work or they have data that they've gotten previously that they're continuing to analyze, so just keep that in mind. And I should say, I'm sorry, I didn't say this earlier, but the studies used a variety of different tools. So to compare, for example, on the ADL and IADL, various different studies used different gold standards to compare to. So, for example, the ORS was used in one study to compare in terms of the ADL and IADLs. However, the simulation study basically used expert opinion. They established what the correct answer would be in advance and then looked to see how many clinicians actually achieved that correct answer. And then also the plan of care was used for one of the studies, which is not necessary. There's a question about how reliable and valid that data is as well. So they were using that as gold standards that may be problematic in and of themselves. Some of the other gold standard tools that were used were the short portable mental status questionnaire. I said the ORS, the Older Americans Resource and Services Instrument, CESD, Depression Scale, and the Brief Symptom Inventory, and the Structured Clinical Interview Axis, DSM-4, were also used. Again, different tools being used, different comparative tools being used across different studies, so we really don't even have a consistent way to evaluate that. Okay, reliability. I went back. We found similar kinds of trends. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to go through this really quickly, but we found similar trends with the reliability studies. Again, multiple different types of reliability, intra-rater used in some studies, inter-rater used in others, sequential inter-rater, which means one person does it now and somebody else does it later, simultaneous, which means two people are doing it at the same time, and then internal consistency reliability. Again, use of agency staff versus agency staff with research staff. One of the other limitations is many of the studies did not provide training or they did not address inter-rater reliability for their evaluators. So that's problematic as well. So we don't know how well these folks were trained and how to use the OASIS assessment. And again, different statistical procedures, et cetera. So the main findings really were that, we're seeing good results for the functional domains in terms of reliability, low for affect and behavioral domains in the OASIS assessment, and also an important finding, 65% of the items studied using sequential ratings had poor inter-rater reliability, whereas only 29% with simultaneous ratings had poor inter-rater reliability. So again, the way you actually evaluate the reliability is going to be critical to the findings. The other important thing was the percentage of agreement was better at discharge than at start of care or admission. So I'm going to jump ahead to the conclusion. So basically, the take-home message from this is that the literature really does still lack clear and convincing evidence of the validity and reliability of many OASIS items. One of the things I didn't say is also these studies measured different items. They weren't consistent across the actual items that they measured. Some found some things more important than others. So overall findings indicate that validity and reliability of the OASIS range from low to moderate, but again, the variation across studies leads us with an inconclusive answer as to whether we can say a particular item is solid or not. And the other thing we need to think about is the incentives in the system for home health staff. We see that the assessments are more reliable at discharge than they are at admission, and that might have something to do with the fact that these admission evaluations also establish the reimbursement for the home health agency, and there's incentive then to upcode patients. There's not incentive on the back end, however, at the discharge to upcode, because people can re-up and get multiple episodes as long as they still have a skilled care need. So if they're ready to be discharged, that, you know, they can discharge them. That's a more accurate assessment. There's or at least there's less incentive for them to upcode those evaluations. So we really do need, I think, to think about future research in this area and continuing research in this area, generating studies with better representation or better representativeness in the samples, better generalizability, reducing some of those inconsistencies in terms of the methods used, trying to develop a consistent plan for studying the reliability and validity, focusing on the critical items that we need to understand in terms of the home health reimbursement formula, as well as outcomes and outcome-based research. Again, the measurement and statistical procedures should be consistent, and we need to consider the changes to the OASIS itself over time. So we need to look at all of the versions of OASIS, because as I said, researchers are still using data from those versions, but we also need to look at the OASIS C1. I think that basically... And I think researchers also need to be wary in using these data in terms of looking at outcomes or in terms of outcomes research. Thank you.
Thank you.